What other are tough stains? Ethan? Glad we said that in church. If you heard it, you heard it. If you didn't, you missed it. Yes. Mustard? Like, think about the TV commercials, right? Leading brand, and then the brand that they're trying to advertise. What do they often use to compare and to try and get out? You got something else? Yeah, chocolate. Grass stain, that's a real popular one. Grass, right, these are all the tough stains. And on the bottle of Clorox, it says, removes tough stains. You think it removes every tough stain from any possible surface? I see some no's. Let's read the fine print. Here's what Clorox says, if we can. It says, for laundry and sanitizing, bleachable fabric. So immediately I'm starting to think of, is this a bleachable fabric or a non-bleachable fabric? I don't know. So then it goes on to say, avoid bleaching wool. Bummer if you spill some mustard on your wool, because this won't help. Silk, don't spill ketchup on your silk tie. Mohair, as if we know what that is. Leather, spandex, and non-fast colors. See, I started getting excited that I could buy this stuff, and no matter what I get on my clothes, this will take care of it. And then I read the fine print. And the fine print reminds me on Clorox, this actually doesn't clean everything from everything. And the reason I want you to think with this, with me about this morning is because that's what's happening with Jesus as he meets with these religious leaders, is he's turning upside down the table with regard to what is and isn't clean. And the question that everybody starts asking now is, after he's listed all of these sins, all of these things that come out of a person's heart that makes them unclean, the question on everybody's mind is, what's clean and what's not? And what's cleanable and what's not? See, we want to know, don't we, with the people in the story today, we want to know, is my life kind of like wool? Is my life kind of like silk? Is my life kind of like mohair? In other words, is the stuff that's going on in my life, is the stuff that's come out of me, that's out of my heart, is it the sort of stuff that's cleanable or uncleanable? Is it a tough stain or is it an impossible stain? Is it one of the things that makes the list on don't use this for that? And that's what's going on this morning in the scripture that I just read with you, is that Jesus knows, and the writer of this story, Mark, knows that the audience is beginning to ask, now that Jesus is here, now that the kingdom of God has come, how far does it reach? Like, what does it affect and what doesn't it affect? What sins can be forgiven and what sins can't be forgiven? Whose life is too far gone and whose life is not too far gone? And that's the question that begins to emerge. And so Mark tells this particular story about Jesus' encounter with this Syrophoenician woman. This woman who is not a Jew. She's not part of the covenants of Israel. She's not part of the commonwealth of Israel, as Ephesians 2 says. She is not part of the people that Jesus has come to seek and save. In fact, Jesus himself, in a different gospel's version of this same story, it can be found in Matthew 15. Jesus himself says this about his mission. He says, I came to seek and to save the lost sheep of the household of Israel. In other words, he came to the Jews. He brought the kingdom of God for the Jews. And so this woman who's not a Jew, she's a Gentile, she's outside of the family of God, as the people of God at that time. And Jesus comes to her town. and I love it. Did you pick it up? I shared this with Karen last night, and it's one of those these insights in Scripture that you can miss if you're not careful, but I want to read the words exactly so you don't miss it with me. Jesus comes to this town called Tyre, which is a Gentile town, and he entered a house. Now, this probably doesn't fit your picture of Jesus, but listen to these next words. And he did not want anyone to know he was there. Like, just as an aside, read Scripture closely. Pay close attention to the details. Here's Jesus that we think is supposed to be like happy to meet with everybody, happy to be cool about everything, happy to come to every town and just say, hang out a shingle and say, I'm here. And he comes to this town and he's hoping that nobody knows he's there. I've had days in ministry like that. Like, can I just go into the bathroom of my office and hope that nobody knows I'm here? Thanks be to God, he gives me the grace to come out of that space because I see in his life that he does the same. So he comes to this town and he's hiding out in this house and he's hoping that no one will know that he's there. In other words, here's what Mark wants us to know. He came to this town not to do mission on behalf of the Gentiles. Not why he came. He was there hoping that he wouldn't be found. He's passing through. He's on his way to another place. He's got another thing that the Father has asked him to do. But in the midst of that respite, in the midst of that place, and let me just say, sometimes if we're honest, we tend to think that Jesus is in a location where he'd rather not be disturbed by me. Fair enough? Like, it's not the most popular thing to say. It's not the most comfortable thing to say. But when we're honest, we've got stuff going in our lives, and we're wondering, is Jesus going to be okay if I come and bring this to him? Is he hiding out today? Is he unavailable today? Has he gone fishing today? Or is he actually going to be available to me with the things that I need to bring to him? Well, here's one of many, many, many stories where Jesus is willing to have somebody take the risk of coming and checking on him to see if he's willing to respond to their need. And so he comes. This woman comes and she finds Jesus. And Jesus looks at first like he's going to reject her. He looks at first like he's going to say, actually, I'm closed today to you and people like you. He says it this way. You're asking for me to bring the things of heaven, the kingdom of God, the benefits of God. You're asking me to bring them into your life. He's saying to this woman who's a Gentile woman, her daughter has an unclean spirit. And Jesus is saying, actually, I've got to fill the people of God first, the Jewish people first. First is an operative word here. He's not outright rejecting her. He's just laying out a priority. Romans chapter 1 says the same thing. He gives us that the priority is to the Jews. First the Jews and then the Gentiles. That's the progression of God's revelation throughout history. And it's also the progression that we see in various other places in Scripture. And so this woman comes to him. And notice where she is. She's in an unclean city. She's an unclean woman. And she's got a daughter with an unclean spirit. This woman is like grass stain, blood, red wine, mustard, ketchup, oil. That thing that didn't get repeated in the back room. All of it combined. She's unclean, unclean, unclean. Three times unclean. And the question is, will Jesus' kingdom extend to her? Will he care? Will he do anything about it? And so what he says to her is, look, the food is for the children. Oh, but it's a test of her faith, isn't it? Jesus is wanting to find out just how desperate this woman is, just how ready she is to trust him as the Son of God, as the Messiah, the one who can actually respond to her need. He rebuffs her at one point to see how will she respond. And this, as an aside, is a call to persevere in prayer. It's a call to not just kind of pray once for something, and if you don't see it happen immediately, just give up. It's just like, no, she presses in farther, and she says, oh, but Lord, don't even the dogs get the crumbs from the children's table. Oh, have mercy on me. My situation is such that I'm begging you, Jesus, to do something in my life. She's not willing to believe that because she's in an unclean city with an unclean, and she's an unclean woman with an unclean daughter with an unclean spirit in her, that that disqualifies her from the love of God in Jesus Christ. She's begging him, oh, just grant me the crumbs from the table. Will Jesus, here's the suspense, the drum roll, please. Will he respond to her faith? Or will he say, no, I'm sorry. That stain is not tough. That stain is impossible. That's the question. And the story continues very quickly and answers it for us. He says to her, because of these words, because of what you've just said, which reveals the faith that's in her heart, your daughter has been made clean. In other words, Jesus very decisively answers the question, is even an unclean woman from an unclean town with an unclean spirit in her daughter too far from the reach of God's kingdom? And he answers and says, no, yes, I do. That's a great thing. He wanted to know if I'm going to ask another question for the kids. I'm stalling, Hunter, because I'm trying to think of one. So kids, when you think of Jesus, when you think of God, when you think of the one who made you and his son, Jesus, are there things in your life, Hunter, kids, all everybody here, are there kids in your life that it feels like I can't talk to God about this? Does it feel like this is too dirty? This is too ugly? This is too wrong? Have you ever done something wrong at home and you don't even want your parents to know about it? Because you're afraid that they won't still love you? You ever do that? You ever feel like if anybody knew everything about me, they might not still love me? Does that make sense, Hunter? Stuff that sometimes you do that you don't want anybody to know about because you're afraid that it might mean they won't love you. And sometimes we don't only think about that with our friends and our parents. But we actually sometimes think about that with God. I can't let God know about this. I've got to have this secret that I can't let anybody know about, even God, because if he knew about it, he'd be done with me. He'd be done with me. He'd be done with me. If you knew what I've done, if only you knew where I've been, if only you knew how many times I've done the thing that I knew I shouldn't have done, you'd be done with me. To the unclean woman in the unclean town with a daughter with an unclean spirit, he says to her, because of the faith that you've expressed in these words, the kingdom of God comes even to you. So Hunter and everyone else in the room, in Jesus' kingdom, when it comes to who Jesus is willing to love, who Jesus is willing to forgive, who Jesus is willing to make clean, there's no small print. There's no wool. There's no mohair. There's no silk. There's nothing that you've done, beloved, that's beyond the reach of God's forgiving grace. I don't know how closely you watched the news, but this past week, I picked up the USA Today on September 1st, which I think was Tuesday. Just a small little thing. The pontiff, which is the Pope, he's to allow priests to forgive abortion. The smaller print says, the Pope indicates that there's no sin that cannot be forgiven. Now, this isn't a promotion for the Catholic Church or for all the things that the Pope is up to, but how refreshing is it to know that that evidently is big news to a particular group of people who did not already know, for whatever reasons, that there was no sin that's beyond the forgiveness of Christ. Something's going on in your life today. Something went on in your life yesterday. Something went on in your life years ago. Something's going on somewhere in your life that's tempting you to believe, if God knew this, He wouldn't love me. He wouldn't forgive me. He wouldn't extend His kingdom to me. But beloved, maybe it's not immediately in your life. Maybe it's the way you see other people. Maybe you think of somebody who's done something and you consider them beyond the forgiveness of Christ. It's not just that you yourself need reminded that nothing you've done is beyond the love of Jesus. There's no fabric of your life that His mercy and grace and kingdom will not penetrate and clean as you trust Him and renew your faith in Him. But it might be the way you look down upon those whose sins you've never done. You couldn't even imagine committing them. So you judge people. You consider their sins beyond the grace of God, all the while receiving His grace for yourself. Maybe those sins of others have actually impacted your life deeply. And in a moment, we're going to say a prayer that says these words, Father, forgive us as we forgive others. And so I want to ask you today, not only is there an area in your life that you want to bring before the Lord and say, Lord, clean even this, but is there an offense where somebody has sinned against you that you've been considering unforgivable? And would today be the day that you extend to those who have hurt you and to the sinners around you the same grace that first applies to you? Let us pray. Lord, we rejoice this morning in the good news that when we look at Jesus, we see You, the Father, and what we see in Jesus is that He extends His kingdom to the unclean, unclean, unclean. And Father, today we, if we're honest, we would admit that there are areas in our lives that we're so ashamed of. And we need to be reminded today afresh that Jesus' forgiveness, Jesus' kingdom, Jesus' act of love on the cross goes to the very depths of all of human sin, even ours. Lord, would You wash over us today afresh with the grace and knowledge of Your grace that we could walk in total freedom, confident, broken, humble, desperate, trusting You, finding in You mercy and grace and love and forgiveness, and therefore emerging confident that You have cleaned us. And Lord, as that people, would You cause us to then see the world around us as not beyond Your love and forgiveness, and therefore not beyond ours. Thank You, Jesus, that You've made us clean. Thank You that we're not included in the small print on the back of Your kingdom. Help us to walk in that truth today and to grant that truth to others. It's in Your name we pray.